have your Bibles, and if you don't, why? Well, you can just read it off the wall, I guess, and Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew 28, and we'll begin reading verse 5. We could read the whole chapter. We could read many chapters. We could read the account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in all four of the Gospels, but we're not going to do that today. Probably, if our hearts would allow us, we're so used to having a man tell us what the Word is saying, or somebody from a pulpit. But you know, I read in the book of Ezra, where Ezra found the Scriptures, or Josiah did, and he asked the scribe Ezra. He began to read, and he didn't explain what it said. He just began to read the Word. And the people responded to the reading of the Word because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they begin to realize their sinfulness, their lack of honoring God and all those things. And so it really made a difference in their lives. And so, but we have a different mode. And the Bible says from the foolishness of preaching. And then he takes foolish men, unlearned men, and lets them preach to learned people, just people smarter than they are. I don't understand that. So when you see your pastor up here, understand he must be pretty dumb. What the Bible says. I was smart enough to make Jesus Lord of my life one day. And I hope you will today also if you have not already. Let's read the scripture. Matthew 28, verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Then verse 8, I'll go ahead and throw that in. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. "Father, today we just ask that you would anoint these lips of clay. Help us, Lord, to hear with our spiritual ears and receive in our hearts what you would say to each of us. In Christ's name, amen." Every holiday has a message, doesn't it? The message of the 4th of July in the United States is our independence from England. The message of Memorial Day is the death of the patriotic men and women who have died for our country. The message of Mother's Day is Mom, and the message of Father's Day is Dad, and the message of Christmas is the birth of Christ, and we even say Jesus is the reason for the season, and rightfully so. But the message of Good Friday is the death of Christ for our sins. He died for us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were ungodly, unlovable, he died for us. When we were angry, even maybe shaking our hands and our fists in God's face, he still died for us. While we were sinners, when we were unlovable, and nobody really wanted us, Christ died for us, gave us life for us. So when we celebrate Easter, we're not really, you know, the world kind of celebrates it in a secular type way. We have the Easter bunny, the Easter rabbit, the chocolate bunnies, you know, and I have nothing against chocolate. We have Easter dinners and Easter bonnets, Easter eggs, but they're not really the message of Easter. I think they're man's way to try to thwart the gospel message. I was raised up hunting Easter eggs, eating Easter candy, and I was not harmed by it. I wasn't. I enjoyed it. But I was also always taught the opposite side of that, what the real meaning of Easter was. It's not about the Easter bunny or the Easter eggs or the candy that you might get or the celebrations that you have out in the world. They're all about the death, resurrection of our Savior. It's all about our salvation. That's what it's all about. Salvation. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. I'm glad He died for us, aren't you? My goodness, where would we be today, church, if it wasn't for Jesus? Lost, undone, without hope. But we have hope today. So the answer or the message of Easter today could be found in our text. And the Bible says that the angel said to the women, "Fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, tell His disciples that He's risen from the dead, and behold, He goes before you into Galilee. There you will see Him, and I have told you." So I want to just preach a message about four words in that text today. And those four words are some imperatives. They are commands that you and I have as Christians. First is to come, then you see, you go, and you tell. It's not all about, I'll get into that in a little bit, but yeah. There's what we're supposed to do. Come and see, go and tell. Very simple. First off, you need to come, don't you? By the way of background of this thing, Jesus was dead. He died. We've been watching movies about it all week long. Have you? Passion of Christ and Jesus movie and this and that. And we see all the depictions of how He died. And I can't imagine not striking back with being struck. Can you? But He willingly died. He gave His life a ransom for you and me. They didn't take His life. He gave His life. We want to say that the Roman soldiers took Him or the Sanhedrin court sold Him into, convicted Him and then had Pilate kill Him on their behalf because they were afraid of Him. They did not take His life. He gave His life. Life. You need to realize that first and foremost. He gave His life a ransom for your sins, for you and me. That's why He died. He didn't die just to prove that He could live again. He died to become that perfect sacrificial Lamb of God who could take away the sins of the world. That's why He died. But He's not in the grave no longer. So they tried to do that. He was betrayed by Judas. He was forsaken by His disciples. Even Peter denied Him before the cock crowed, before dawn that day. Peter had denied Him. He was condemned to die by Pontius Pilate. He was crucified on Calvary. He was buried in this tomb of Joseph, but He is not there today. They sealed that tomb, but He came out of that grave up from the grave. He arose, one song says, with a mighty triumph over His foes. He rose triumphant over death. And He lives forever now. He lives forever now. He's alive today. So they, disciples, as the Marys went to the tomb, the empty tomb that day, on Easter morning, they were concerned about being able to get in. They wanted to prepare His body properly for burial. They had hastily put Him in the tomb. They had sealed that tomb. The Roman soldiers were standing guard at that tomb. They didn't know what they would do to get in, but they got up early that morning and went to the tomb with spices and they were going to prepare Him for proper burial. They had not at that point grasped the fact that He was not going to stay dead. Come on, if they had Him, they wouldn't have went there to prepare Him for burial. They would have went there to see if the tomb was empty. But instead, they went to prepare Him for burial. When they got there, Mark 16:3 says, "And they said among themselves, the women, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" They didn't know what they were going to do. Brother, I'm sorry, I spent all morning in my office and never wrote one scripture down. So you could put them on the screen for folks. But you'll manage somehow. when they arrived at that tomb, they were in for a surprise of their lives because a great earthquake had taken place, according to Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 2nd verse. A great earthquake had taken place, and the tomb, the big stone there had been rolled away, and it was no longer covering the door. And fact is, there was two angels there. One angel was the spokesperson. There was two angels there, and really they just kind of looked at them, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen, like he said. And they're like, what are you saying? This cannot be so. Just a week before or so, they had seen Lazarus raised from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. But yet they couldn't believe that this man could raise himself from the dead. But I tell you, he was fully man, but he was fully God. He walked this earth as a man, but he was here as the deity, the second person, if you would, of the Trinity. And he knew his course of action from the time he was a little baby. He knew why he was born. He was born to die, but he wasn't going to stay dead. He knew he was going to rise again. And if he lives, we can also live today if you'll trust Jesus. Amen. Amen. So they wondered about that. They were told not to fear. They were seeking Jesus. So first off, the angel told the women, come here. Come. I want you to see what's taking place. That was an invitation often given in Scripture. Jesus would say, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Always an invitation. Christ has always given invitation. If you don't know him today, he's given invitation to you to come. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come experience salvation by the remission of your sin. Come and repent and he'll save you to the uttermost and completely wash your sins away and make you better than new. Amen? If you'll just come and see. So he gave the invitation ever since the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned against the righteous and holy God, God has had his arms open saying, come. Even after they turned their backs on him, he still was a righteous judge, a righteous God, a loving God, a caring God. God looked down through the centuries and said, and when the time is appropriate, I'm going to send a Savior. When the time is exactly right, I'll send a Savior in the form of a baby. That baby will grow up and he'll become the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. And he did that, didn't he? Amen. Give him praise. Come on. We don't have to patty cake. You may not like the way I'm saying it, but you gotta like what's being said. Amen. Amen. He gave the promise of Messiah. He gave it who would have victory over Satan. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse, this is what God said. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus came to earth to put to death sin, to bruise Satan. One day he's coming back to establish his kingdom once and for all, and he'll finish Satan once and for all. That Satan will have no more power over us. No more ability to tempt us. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when there's no tempter. Man, oh man, Jesus is going to bruise him forever. He's going to take care of him forever. You know, God used the ark that built by Noah as a picture of him coming for us to be able to come for protection from God. You know the story where many did not most didn't get an ark, just Noah and his family. Just Noah and his family. But it's a picture of things to come. He invited the children of Israel out of Egypt. Later he invited them to come into the promised land. We've been invited to come out of sin and darkness. To walk in the light as he is the light. You've all been invited. It's an open invitation. There's probably somebody here today that's not has received the invitation, but hasn't accepted the invitation. My question to you would be this: why haven't you accepted the invitation? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Why wouldn't you want what God has to offer? Why wouldn't you want to walk in the light as He is the light? Why wouldn't you want to live for Jesus the best of your ability with His help? Why wouldn't you want the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit? Why not? Why wouldn't you? I don't understand it. Millions upon millions, have denied Jesus Christ and don't want anything to do with Him. I don't understand why not. I don't know why. I can't understand it. But He's given invitation. He's invited you into the promised land. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 1. Let me turn over there. I have it written down, but I didn't mark it. But let me see what it says. I know kind of what it says, but let's read it together. It says, I don't know what the King James says. It says, ho, the same thing as mine does. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what is not, what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight in its abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you that the sure mercies of David. Why wouldn't you want to come and have abundance of life through Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't you want to have what He has to offer, receive the sure mercies that He's offered us? Why would you not want what Christ has done, the atoning death that He is? You know, where He went there and He died for our sins. Why wouldn't you want to receive that? That blood applied to your, so to speak. I know it's bloody. You don't like to hear about blood, but without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus died on Calvary. His blood was shed for the remission of your sin. But you have to accept it. You have to repent. Ask Him to come in and He'll do it. Have you labored under a load of guilt and shame? I have. Have you ever been burdened with the awfulness of your sin? Many are today. Have you labored to get into heaven and still not sure whether you're going to make it? Can I just put a footnote right there? If we don't get into a place that we're sure of our salvation, we will labor under that load. I try to teach you guys here at our church to get under that place of grace and mercy and understand that your sins have been forgiven and you can make mistakes and still go to heaven. You just don't practice it. But if you don't grasp that portion of Scripture and you don't grasp the mercy of God in that way, you're going to labor, always trying to please God. Should you try to please God? Yes. Sure you should. But you're not always going to please God. You're going to disappoint Him sometimes, but His mercy endures forever, and His grace is sufficient. Do your best to live for Him. That's just a footnote. I want you to understand that today. We've all labored. Sometimes we wonder if we're ever going to make it, but you're going to make it if you'll just stay firm and sure and continue to serve Him with the best of your ability. Have you ever been heavy laden with the load of trying to keep the Ten Commandments or the precepts of maybe some particular church? It's difficult sometimes, but Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me, He says. And that's what the angel said to Lazarus, come and see. Come, look in here and see what He's done. We come to Him who has left the tomb today. We come to Him that's risen from the dead today. We come to Him who is living in heaven right now. Fact is, the Bible says He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. That's what it says. He's there for us today. Come and see. You see, we come to Him who is offering salvation, forgiveness for everyone who would believe. John 3:16. Anybody here know that scripture? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, that is kind of the gospel in a nutshell right there, man. If you don't know Christ, He died for you.
He died for you. While you were yet a sinner, He died for you. We come to Him today who offers peace and power to all that believe. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, I leave you with my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to give you perfect peace. See, that's a good thing about being a Christian today. I struggle like everybody else. We all struggle at different times. We all have situations in our lives that we go through, and times of temptation and times of trial. But you know what? All through it all, if I just trust God, I have a perfect peace. Fact is, one scripture says the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And the peace of God. I have the peace of God because I know my Redeemer lives. I know what He's done for me. I know what He did for me at Calvary. So they said, come. If you don't know Christ today as your Savior, we invite you to come. Know Him as Savior and Lord. Then the angel told the ladies, see. Come and see. So there's, you know, differentiate between the word look or see and look. And when I look at something, I may not grasp what I'm looking at. I may not comprehend or understand, but when I truly see, I grasp it, I comprehend, I understand it. That's what the angel wanted these ladies. They wanted them to understand, to grasp it, to really see what they were seeing, to really see that He was not there. He had risen like He said. So that He wanted them to grasp, understand, and comprehend that the tomb was empty and that Christ had risen from the dead. If they had just looked in, have you ever just, you know, us men, you women can identify with this, but say something's in the cabinet and so you go look, but you don't see. And so He's, honey, where's that at? It's in the cabinet. I don't see it. And so she comes in and says, right there. You looked, but you didn't see. And my response is, that's what I have you for. But you understand, sometimes we look, but we don't see. And He wanted them to grasp, to understand that the tomb was empty. He is risen from the dead, and He is alive forevermore. He's not there. The tomb is empty, church. He rose on the third day like He said He would. Death could not hold Him. The grave couldn't stop Him. Satan cannot defeat Him. He is Lord of all. Amen. Look at Romans 10th chapter and the 9th verse with me, if you would. It reads like this. Speaking about salvation and receiving Christ, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess and believe. Make confession. He wants us to put our faith and our trust in Him for salvation. Come and see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, I tell you, I lived many years in sin. Well, I'm one of these guys raised in church. I got saved probably first. I got 8 years old. Assembly of God Church, I could take you to the church. It's still, the church is not in existence, but the building is there. Brother Martin was the preacher. I was 8 years old, and he gave I don't know what the message was. I just know that something touched my heart. I went over to this side of the building and kneeled on that end of the altar and gave my heart to Jesus. Now, I went away from Christ for a number of years. When I was a teenager, especially rebellious, Wanted to do things that everybody else did. Wanted to do what Mark Finley got to do all the time, just run the streets. And, well, he really didn't, but he went to the Methodist church, and they got to do what they wanted to do. And I was Pentecostal. We couldn't do nothing. They got to go to the dances. We couldn't go to the dances. In fact, his mom drug me practically out of one of them by the head of my hair one night. You didn't do that when back in them days, Mark. You didn't go to the dances if you was a Pentecostal kid. They let you do nothing. Couldn't go to the show. Couldn't do nothing. Where was I going with that? Well, confession is good. Point is, I got saved when I was 8. I walked away from the Lord. But when I came back to Christ, really dedicated my life to Him when I was about 20 years old, everything changed. I was at an age I was ready to be changed. I was ready to settle down. I was ready to forsake sin. I was ready to live for God. I confessed my faults, my sins to Him, and He was faithful and just to forgive me my sins and my wayward ways, my wayward thinking. He saved me to the uttermost and received me back to Himself. That's where I was going with all that, till I tried to be funny. If you confess, He'll save you. Then the ladies were told to go. Come and see, and now go. You see, God never intended for anyone to stare into the tomb indefinitely, to continually stare into that tomb. He never intends for us to do that. We have to come to that point of seeing the empty tomb, trusting Christ Jesus as our Savior, and then going and telling others about it. We have a mandate from heaven to tell, to go. Well, I'll get to tell in a minute, but to go. We have to go. We are to go to learn more about Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, tells us as Christians, once you accept Christ, but to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to grow in grace every day. You do that by Bible study. You do that by prayer and supplication. You go to Him in prayer. You go to Jesus, allowing Him to live through you. Look at Galatians, the 3rd chapter in the 20th verse. And it says this. Now the... Why'd I put that one down? Forget that one. I am fallible. But we're to go to Jesus. We're to let Him live through us. Amen? We're to go to church and fellowship with other believers. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, if you want to read that later. Mark it down. Some people don't believe in going to church. Well, the Bible tells us to go to church. It's right. Well, let me just read that to you. Some of you don't believe it's in there, and you won't read it later. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this. First, it says in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, of our confession of our hope, and without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." So what we do, we're to consider one another. We are to be responsible to one another. We are to have corporate worship with one another. We are to be in a community of believers together so that we can be edified and built up, and so that we can also edify and build up others. So we can be built up and so that we can build up others. Church attendance and fellowship is important. Amen? I want to tell you that. He says, go, and now you fellowship with one another. If you get saved, you ought to join a church somewhere. You ought to be in church every chance you get. So we go to Him, we go to church, we pray, we seek God, we read the Scriptures, and we are to go to a lost and dying world. Acts 1 and 8 says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and into all the ends of the earth. You're to be witnesses once you get saved. You're not just some person that got saved, now you go do your own thing. You have responsibility when you get saved. Amen? You are to go, and then you are to tell. These women were instructed. You go back to the disciples. You tell them what you have seen. And they obeyed the command of the angel. The angel says, you go back to the disciples and you tell them what you have seen. You tell them of the resurrection. You tell them there's an empty tomb. You tell them that you've met an angel on the way. You tell them everything you've seen here. We have a responsibility to go and tell what God has done for us. There was a demon-possessed man that Jesus had cast the demon out of, and he healed him. He wanted to travel with Jesus. You read the story. He wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus told him instead, you go home and you tell your friends and you tell your family what I've done for you. You're not going to go with me, but you have purpose. You have place. I want you to go and tell. Amen? So, I mean, you've been demon possessed. Don't raise your hand. Let me just suspect about some of you once in a while. None of us, probably most of us, have not been demon possessed, but we've been demon led. Influenced by Satan. But if you had been, and Jesus had delivered you, would you not want to go tell somebody what the Lord had done for you? Wouldn't you want to be like that beggar man sitting at the gate called Beautiful when Peter and John walked by that morning and said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they said the beggar leaped to his feet. Wouldn't you want to be that man? And once God did something that miraculous for you, wouldn't you want to go tell it to somebody? Well, you know what? He has delivered you from the depths of sin. He has delivered you from darkness. He has translated you into His marvelous light. You should want to go tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Amen? You ought to do it. That's part of it. That's the message of Easter. It's our job to tell the great things that the Lord has done. Psalms 113, I believe, 107, verse 2, says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is hard to be silent when God has really done something for you. And God expects us to go and tell. First we come, we see, we go, we tell. That's the message of Easter today. Come, see, go, and tell. That's our message today. In closing, there's an old hymn. As I was studying and praying, it just came to my mind, and many of you know this old hymn, you're probably well acquainted with it. But it starts out like this right here, just to give you the words, and says, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. The course goes like this, mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Would you stand with us today? They're going to sing this song. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do what you probably should have already done. And that's to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The tomb is empty. He died for your sins. He satisfied God's wrath. He took your place. You're guilty. He was not guilty. You deserve it. He did not.
but he died for you. While they sing this song, would you contemplate? Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And make the best decision of your life. That's to accept Christ as your Savior.